Thank you very much. Thank you very much, you're kind. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Come on now. The quicker we get going, the quicker we get out. Let's go. Be seated, please. Thank you. You're kind. Sit down. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Very good. Tremendous truth and song and a great spirit here at Hiles Anderson College. We sure love you. So appreciate every single one of you. I love your spirit. That is one thing that every guest speaker that I've spoken with who comes, they always reference. One man who oversees another college, he says, I wish I could bottle the spirit here and take it and unleash it on the college that I am in charge of. He says, there's something here that is just very unusual, and it's you, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. And it's the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And I think it's also the fact that we're engaged in the work of the Lord. I don't want us to be information fat and application skinny. I want us to be able to take in and work out. The Bible says to work out your salvation. God saved us. Now we ought to work it out. And I love to hear stories of you winning others to Christ. I saw a beautiful family get on the bus Sunday. Six of them, a dad and a mom and four kids. Reached by one of our students here, and just bless my heart, the man got saved about 3 weeks ago. I think the wife is yet to be saved, and she's like, I don't really want to come to church. I'm just here because my husband wants to come. And then I saw her singing a lava lay, and I was so happy to see her. So she wasn't as miserable as she thought she was, I don't think, and she was laughing and joking, and she's starting to warm up, and you can see the Word of God begin to work in her heart, the Spirit of God working. And I love to see beautiful stories like that that are eternal in the heavens. Thank you for being involved in the work of the Lord. Real quickly, for our freshman class and some sophomores and juniors maybe, they're taking the discipleship lessons. Of course, we have just about another week, and then you've got to turn in your one-page paper on your discipleship experience. Some of you have struggled, and some of you, quite frankly, you've started with someone, they fell off the face of the earth for a while and can't find them, or they didn't do it, and that's normal. There are a lot of times in discipleship, they don't take the journey with you. But I want to encourage you, this might be a good idea to stop by the bookstore on your way home or your way out here and purchase a couple discipleship lessons and disciple someone back home. Take time. If you're there for 4 days or whatever, you might want to disciple someone your first day, disciple them again on a Sunday afternoon or on Saturday. Let's get that experience in. I want you to be used of the Lord to disciple converts. And the part of the process is not just what they learn, it's what you and I will learn in the process of discipling them. So make sure you stay on that. I want to ask you to take your Bibles real quick. We're going to look at about four verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And just a little bit of advice as I was thinking about speaking here, and I believe the Lord impressed my heart in obvious ways. I don't exactly know why, but there are other places in the Bible that I think I was going to go on this day, but I think the Holy Spirit of God, as soon as I woke up this morning, gave me this thought, and I want to share it with you quickly. Let's review the principles of 1 Timothy. Chapter 1 is keeping your doctrine, keeping prayer and your walk with God, a priority. Number 3 is to spiritually reproduce yourself. Spiritual reproductivity is very, very important. Be spiritually reproductive. Then, the Bible tells us in chapter 4 that we should be a good example to believers. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then chapter 5, two words I want you to keep in mind, and that is relationships and? Yeah, how to treat God's people, treating God's people with grace and wisdom. And then chapter 6, financial. And we've talked about that. I want to get that into your heart and life. I believe if every student would leave today and live every day with a conscious awareness that I want to keep my doctrine sound, because doctrine determines what you believe, determines where you'll end up. And if you will make your walk with God and prayer a priority. If you and I don't pray, we're just going to play. Because there's not going to be a lot done to a young man or young woman or an older man who does not pray. Prayer is an essential. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? People willing to pray. That's make it a priority. Not something you supplement, something that you prioritize in your heart and life. And it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it and everybody would be successful. The truth of the matter is you'll find a successful Christian, a successful church, a successful family is going to have prayer as a core essential. And then spiritually reproduce yourself. It should bother you. And I love to hear what our testimony was today. I hadn't seen someone save in a few weeks, and it was really bothering me. That ought to bother me. That ought to bother a faculty member. That ought to bother administration. That ought to bother my wife, our children. There ought to be something inside of us. If we're saved, we're saved to bear fruit. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. To be a good example, to treat people right, and to manage our finances in order. Those are things that young servants of Christ and older servants of Christ will deal with on a daily basis. But as we exit on this short reprieve of school, and you get to leave here in a few moments and board a bus and go to the airport or travel, I want you to be careful. Please be careful. It terrifies me sometimes thinking about young people, as many of them that will be on the roads and traveling during this time. We want everybody to get back here on Monday. And I want you to be careful. Don't drive tired. If you're sleepy, pull over. If people are texting you, I'd prefer you not do that. Pull over and text later. Now, be careful. We'll pay attention. There are more people on the road tomorrow than any other day of the year. More people will fly on an airplane in America tomorrow than any other single day of the year. It's the highest travel day. And I want you to be careful where you go, what you do, and protect yourself and be careful. Get back here safely next Monday. But in the meantime, I want to just give you some advice that God gave to Timothy through the Apostle Paul that I think is very practical for us today. Nothing new, but very important. By the way, you don't ever get bored with the basics. Can you say that with me? Don't get bored. One more time. Everybody's looking for a new idea. A new idea. And I'm not against ideas. I think they're good. But I do think you never should get bored with the basics. And the basics are reading your Bible, praying, living a holy life. Great Christians and great ministries are marked by three things. They do the right thing in the right way for the right reason. And I'll add one more: for a long time. Doing the right thing the right way for the right reason, for a lifetime. You want to be used of God? Do what's right. Do it the right way. Do it for the right reason, and don't ever stop doing it. Be a soul winner when you're 70. Be a soul winner when you're 17. Be a soul winner and be faithful. Read your Bible when you're young. Read your Bible when you're old. Just don't quit doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for a long time. And you're going to find success is at the end of that road. So many people have stopped. Paul said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Man, you were doing so good. You stopped doing the right thing for the right reason, the right way for a long time. And it kills. We want to make sure we do that. But here he tells him, let me give you some advice. Let's just look at it quickly, make a couple observations, and we're out of here. Look at verse number 13. Excuse me. I'm going to ask you to back up just for a second and look at verse number 6. Read it with me if you would, please. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice what these things are. He says, if you'll remind people of two things, look at verse 5. What are those two things that sanctify life? The Word of God and prayer. These are two things. They're simple things. They're basic things. And yet, keep reminding yourself to read the Bible, to pray. There's a source of strength there. He said, if you'll remind people of the basics, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you'll be nourished up in words of faith and doctrine. Once again, doctrine's going to surface here. And then of things that you do. It is being a mentor and a model. Young people on your bus routes, if you will be a mentor, a teacher, and you'll be a good example, it is a great combination. Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 2:20, he said, I have shown you and have taught you, both publicly and house to house. Show and tell is the best way to pass on your faith to someone else. And you're going to have to do that, most of you. How many of you are getting to go to another place, either your home or another place, outside of First Baptist and Hiles Anderson College for Thanksgiving? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up high if you're going to go somewhere else. How many get to stay with us here? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Looks like about 60-40 maybe, 70-30. Most of you are going to be interacting with people who you don't interact with on a regular basis. You're going to be outside this property at your home church. Let me just give you a couple thoughts real quickly. Number one, let no man despise your youth. Okay? But be thou an example. Be an example in what you say, how you conduct yourself, your conversation, your conduct, your attitude, your love, your spirit, and your purity. Six things God tells us there. And here's what it is. No man despise your youth. Oh, that's a young guy from college. You know how they can despise your youth? If you come in casual. That's how they can despise your youth. If you show up for Sunday morning, you're not shaven, you got your hair going every which way but loose, you're trying out your new skinny jeans, you're gonna be probably, someone say, look at this young kid. You come in looking like a godly young man. You're gonna take away that persona is that you're young, and they're gonna see maturity instead of immaturity. The way that we overcome immaturity, I can't stand it when someone says, oh, you're so immature. Or why don't you just grow up? But the what cancels immaturity is an example. When you elevate your example in what you say, how you talk, how you live, how you love, what your attitude is, what your faith in God is, and your purity, then you elevate your example. I plead with you young people, remember this, while you're away and you have time together with other people, your family, be an example to believer. Don't take a low road, take the high road. Don't be someplace you shouldn't be. Don't let your hair down, if you will. Don't let your guard down and do things that you would not do. Oh, that's my rule at school. Keep the rule at your home. You know, whenever everyone says, hey, we're going to the movies, don't go to the movies. Well, we're going to watch this, and you can tell that's going to go south in a hurry. Slip away. If you can't confront, slip away. But guard your example. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. It is about the work of the Lord. It is about this place. It is about Christ. It's about your testimony. You know, I think about our Judge Kavanaugh, who was finally affirmed. But what he did when he was young and dumb, and alcohol was involved. It's sad to me. If we didn't have alcohol, he wouldn't even have the hearings like that. But because he got intoxicated, and he still loves beer, it's complicated. I was arguing with a guy just recently, graduated from here, and he wants to tell me, well, I don't think the Bible, I think the Bible's okay if we drink a couple beers. Listen, it just drives me crazy. Why in the world you would not want to please God rather than try to appease God? Why in the world do you want to take your liberties in those situations? I don't understand it. It just drives me bananas. And it's going to wreck the lives of families and all kinds of things. Because there's one way never to be drunk. Don't drink. Well, no, I don't know. He told me on the phone, being drunk is a sin, I have to confess. And I've only been drunk 5 times in the last 2 years. And that was sin, that was wrong. But I'm not going to say you can't drink. Okay? You know, I wish I could record that back to him. So it's just dumb. If you never drank, you won't get drunk. You won't act a fool. So important to understand that. But be an example. Elevate your testimony while you're away. Look at the next one, if you would please. The next verse is verse number 13. Till I come, and Paul is telling Timothy, till I get with you, I want you to give attendance to three things. Number one, give attendance to what? Reading. Let me suggest to you that maybe on this Thanksgiving break, that you just take a little bit of time every day, maybe 20 minutes. You'll have a little bit more time to yourself. Get away 20 minutes, get your Bible, and read. Get a good book. Take it with you in your suitcase and read a good book. Give attendance to reading. Once again, this is Paul talking to a young man saying, hey, number one, be a good example. Number two, read. Readers are not all leaders, but most leaders are readers. And you can't recall things you've never learned, and reading gives you more freshness and ability to know what's going on. Take time to read. He says, number one, give attendance to reading. Number two, give attendance to exhortation. Exhortation means to help somebody else. It means to build someone else. You know who could be built this weekend? Your pastor. You can exhort your pastor. I want you to look at a verse real quickly. Hold your place there and go to Hebrews chapter 3, would you? Hebrews chapter 3. One of the reasons we go to church is to exhort one another. But I want you to notice Hebrews chapter 3. If you don't underline this in your Bible, you should underline it. Let's look at it together and let's read it out loud together. Let me have the men read it first and then everyone read it twice the second time. Here we go, gentlemen. But exhort one another daily. Chapter 3, verse 13. Do I have it there? I'll give you the wrong reference. Everyone, men. But exhort one another. Everyone together. But exhort one another. The Bible tells us, and Paul tells Timothy, be a good example in six areas. And cancel your youthfulness and those who will despise you acting immature with your example. Number two, give attendance to reading. Find a book. Read through the book of Proverbs or Psalms or Ephesians and Colossians. Or find a verse, find one you're just going to read every day for the week. But meditate and think about that. But then he says, give attendance to exhortation. Exhortation, once again, is making another person better, encouraging them. Probably the prime exhorter in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm going to keep working to you till Christ be forming you. You need a nurse, I'll be your nurse. You need a dad, I'll be your dad. You need a coach, I'll be your coach. He said, the more I'm loved, the less I'm loved, and I'm okay with that as long as you are being exhorted. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, exhort somebody every day. And when you do that, you help us not fall to the deceitfulness of sin and soften our heart. He said, if someone's not exhorted, their heart begins to get hardened and then they get deceived. That's why it's important to go to church. Because when you go to church, you exhort one another. I have been instructed and inspired. I inspired at church. And the reason I stood at an altar as a virgin and my wife did too, and we have no regrets about how we came together as a husband and wife on that day to say our vows, was because I was exhorted to be pure. I was instructed how, and I was inspired to do it. The reason I give today is because I was exhorted, instructed, inspired to do so. The reason I went to work on a bus route when I came here to college is because I was instructed and inspired and exhorted by another brother that said, hey, won't you join my route? And the rest was history. We have a responsibility. This is your day to watch your brother. I was blessed to see our son Preston come to our house last night and just stop over, and he hugged each of his brothers and his sister. And he said, I love you guys. Y'all live right for the Lord, man. Keep living right. You're doing good? You're walking with God? Well, when you go home and see your mom, your brothers and sisters today, you ought to tell them, hey, you're doing good? You're walking with the Lord? You know what you're doing when you do that? You're exhorting. Whenever you look into your eyes of your dad this afternoon or tomorrow, you ought to look into his eyes and say, Daddy, thank you for walking with Jesus. Thank you for loving the Lord. Maybe dad doesn't walk with God, mom does. Say that to mom. If both of them do it, if you don't have, look in their eyes and tell them, you mean so much to me. I'm so proud to be your son, to be your daughter. And you'll do this. You'll exhort your mom and dad. You'll encourage them. Look in the eyes of your pastor and your pastor's wife. You girls, when you see your pastor's wife, don't just wave at her across the other arm. Get over to her and hug her. Tell her, thank you for what you do for Jesus and what you've done for me. Your youth pastor, exhort those kids in the class. Hey, if you see them sitting over there talking, goofing around, get over there and sit amongst them. Tell them how glad you are to see them faithful in church and how are you doing. Tell me how your walk with God is. Encourage them, exhort them. He said, give attention to reading, to exhortation. The third thing is to give attention to doctrine. Learn what you believe. Learn, make sure you know right, you teach right, you understand right. Won't take a lot of time on that, but we know this. Doctrine determines. Yeah, and a swerve always precipitates a shipwreck. So make sure that you give attention to know what you believe. Then let's continue with the conclusion, and let's look at verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy and the laying on of my hands, the presbytery. He's referring back to his ordination. And ordination gives you a confidence to lead with God. Most of us are not ordained in this room, but I think he's referencing that. But every one of you have gifts. Stir them up. Use them. The way you stir up your gift is you use your gift. Whatever God's made you good at, do it. If it's a giver, give. If it's teaching, teach. If it's prophesying, prophesy. If it's helping, help. If it's giving mercy, live in the strengths that God gives you. Stir it up. Neglect not to give. Let's look at the next, the verse number 15. I love this verse. Let's read just those first four words, everyone together. Ready? Meditate. That means think about them. Think about these things. Meditate. Go over your responsibilities. What are my responsibilities? To be an example. Don't let people think I'm immature. I'll cancel that by being a good example. I'll read. I'll exhort. I'll believe right. I'll live right. And I'll stir up the gift God gave me. He said, now meditate on these things. Not only think about them, but give yourself wholly to them. In doing so, your profiting may appear to all. One thing all of us need is a good testimony. We need to be a good testimony. And the way we do it is by thinking about our responsibilities and then living them out, giving ourselves wholly to them. Decide, you know, any decision you have to make, if the guys come over, hey, you're going to still do this, and you know it's not going to be bad, stop. No, your testimony is too important. Your profiting should appear toward all. Every one of us ought to be going for influence that God wants us to have. And the higher you go in your spiritual influence, the fewer your liberties become, and that's okay. And the last thing that God tells Timothy through the Apostle Paul is take heed to thyself. Take care of you. On an airplane, some of you, how many are going to go on an airplane today? You're going to go on an airplane? Okay. I ride on airplanes pretty regularly. When I get on an airplane, they oftentimes tell you several things about your seatbelt and about the life preserver, and then they say, we don't expect a change in cabin pressure, but in case that were to occur, four masks will fall out of the ceiling. They point to that and they show you a mask. They say, in that case, put that over your nose and your mouth and breathe freely. The bag may not inflate, but you will still be receiving oxygen. And if you're traveling with someone else who is a child or someone acting like a child, put it on yourself first and then assist another. You know what they say? They say you got to put it on yourself first to help somebody else. If you go around that plane trying to put masks on everybody else and you don't have a mask on, guess what's going to happen? They'll be walking on top of you as they exit the airplane. You will pass out. You have to take care of you first. And he says, take heed to thyself and then to the doctrine. In doing this, you'll both save yourself and others that need you and I. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to be a part of this college with interested, attentive young people. Bless them, I pray. I know some of them, they've got a smile on their face today, but they're not right with you. You know it. They know it. God, would you convict them? Some of them, they have sin to confess. They should not even get in an automobile or get off this campus without first finding a quiet place and saying, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. I admit it. I quit it. Please convict our hearts of sin. And then I pray you'd help us to be a good example. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Help us to meditate on these things and then give ourselves wholly to them that our testimony will be obvious to all. And then help us to take heed to ourselves and what we believe and practice so that we cannot just be a help to ourselves but to others around us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.